So I want to talk tonight a little bit about the halachos of what we call shalashudis. So the shlishis, shalashudis. I was trying to think, where does the name shalashudis come from? It's a strange kind of name, shalashudis. And I think it's the Yiddishized version of shalosh sudos. That's my assumption. Now, why the third meal specifically is called shalosh sudos, that I'm not sure. Maybe it's the culmination of all three meals put together. But we call it shalashudis, but it's sudah shlishis. And let's start from the very beginning. We have an obligation. We know we touched on it a little bit last week when we discussed the three meals in general. So the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly in source number one that a person has to eat shalashudis. Right? You have to eat shalashudis. Yehei zohir ma'od l'kayim sudah shlishis. And says the Shulchan Aruch that even if you're full, you can get by with just a kibetza, a little more than an egg. The Mishnah Berurah explains really it's a little bit more than a kibetza. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, if you really can't eat, and this we mentioned last week, that if a person is so stuffed that they can't eat, and if they put anything else in their mouth, it's going to cause them tsar, it's going to cause them pain, and it's just going to be so uncomfortable to put anything else in their mouth, so then they're not obligated to do that, as the Mishnah Berurah explained, we saw it last week, because a person, the whole point of Shabbos, the whole point of the Seudos of Shabbos is to have oneg, to have enjoyment. So if I'm not enjoying it because I'm literally stuffing the food down my throat and it's causing me pain, so then a person's not obligated to do that. But the Shulchan Aruch does say that achacham einav berosh, a person should think ahead, right? As we mentioned, that if you know that you have to eat shalashudas, it's an obligation. I have to eat three meals on Shabbos, so if I have to eat shalashudas, I know that I can't stuff myself so much at lunch. So if I have singles at lunch and I don't have doubles, okay, I'll survive. If I don't have that second sufganiya for dessert, or the third sufganiya, or whatever number it might be for me, so I'll survive. So chacham in a barosho should try to plan ahead and make sure to leave room for shalashudis. Now, what time should a person really be eating shalashudis? So we spoke a little bit last week about the timing of the pseudo Shabbos, and we mentioned how the Aruch HaShulchan discusses that a person should really be having their pseudo shniya, which means lunch, what we call lunch, should really be started before Chatzos, right? He says really you should end it before Chatzos, but at least he says start it before Chatzos. Why? Because he said that each of these meals corresponds to a different time period of the day. So the Friday night meal corresponds to Friday night, obviously. And then the Shabbos day meal corresponds to the morning, and Shalashudas corresponds to the afternoon. So that's why he felt that the first one should be before Chatzos, and the second one of Shabbos day should be after Chatzos. So again, we discussed that in the context of the first meal of lunch, but let's talk about it a little bit in the context of shalashudis now. And writes the Shulchan Aruch in source number two that it's zmana mishiyagia zman hamincha dahinu misheishos umechzo lamala. The appropriate time for shalashudis is what we call mincha gedola, the earliest time to daven mincha, which is a little bit after chatzos, about a half halachic hour after chatzos. Question exactly how to measure it. But, approximately that amount of time. And if you did it early, you do not fulfill Suda Shlishis. You don't fulfill your obligation of eating your third meal, because the third meal has to correspond to the afternoon time period. Writes the... that's an interesting thing, because if you think about it, there's once in a blue moon that everybody eats Shalashudas early. When's that? Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. Right, Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. So we'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the shiur tonight. But Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos, usually what we do is we wash, we have our first meal, then we bench, relatively quickly. We have some sort of a break, walk around the block or jump around the room or do whatever you do, and then we wash again, and we have our quote unquote Suda Shlishis, even though it's in the morning. Why? Because we have no choice. Because you can't eat bread after a certain time period on Erev Pesach, and we know you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach at all. So that's why we're a little bit stuck. That's for another shir. But that's one time of the year when we do eat Suda Shlishis before Chatzos, even though the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't really fulfill Suda Shlishis by eating it before Chatzos.
Would he have done what you do?
That's a good question. I don't remember offhand, in Halachos of Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos, I don't remember offhand what the Shulchan Aruch recommends. But we'll have to, I don't know when the next time that happens is Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. But... not for a while?
Yeah, not for a while.
Oh, yeah? Okay, fine. okay, but that's the we'll see that there might be another, we'll see towards the end of the show that there's some other, suggestions about that also. Now, we commonly eat Shalosh Shudas when? After Mincha, right? That's how Moshul, that's how we do it here in this shul. That's how Moshuls do it. Between Mincha Maariv, you have Shalosh Shudas. Dav Mincha, go downstairs, have Shalosh Shudas, and then we come upstairs and Dav and Maariv. Writes the Rambam, right here in source number 2, Ein lechol su'da shlishis bein Mincha and Maariv. You should not eat su'da shlishis between Mincha and Maariv. Rather, el yochalos hakodem mincha. You should eat it before mincha. And then he says, v'yesh omrim, diyoser tov lihispal al mincha tchila, v'chein noagim lechatchila b'chom adin osenu. And some say it's better to daven mincha first. It's an interesting, question why that is, why it should be that you can't eat shalosh shudas, before, different minhagim. But he says very clearly that our minhag is lechatchila, that we do eat shalosh shudas after mincha, before Maariv. That's how he concludes. And that's really how we paskin, that's how we hold, and that's how most of us, most shuls, do it, that we daven mincha, and then we eat shalosh shudas. Now, we mentioned that you have to eat shalosh shudas. Right, that's true. So there, we would encourage people to eat shalosh shudas before, but certainly your yotzei. Everyone agrees that your yotzei shalosh shudas before mincha. The question is, can you eat it after mincha? So we do eat it after mincha, but it's certainly fine to eat it before mincha.
Especially in the winter.
Exactly, right. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. That's interesting. So we mentioned before that you're supposed to eat shalosh shudas after chatzos, right, or after mincha gedolah, let's say. Now, what happens if I started my shalosh shudas before that time, but then I'm still eating, and then now it's past the mincha gedolah. So I start before, let's say mincha gedolah is 12:30. Let's say it's a 6 to 6 day, sunrise 6 o'clock. 6 a.m., sunset 6 p.m., everything's nice and even. So 12:30 is Mincha Gedolah. So now, let's say I start eating Shalosh Shudas at 12:15, okay? But I had, I davened Hashkama. So I had my Suda Rishona, I had it ready for breakfast, Shalom for breakfast at 9 a.m., right? And then I benched, that was my Suda Rishona. And now, having my Shalosh Shudas, I start at 12:15, right? So now, I started too early, but I'm going past Mincha Gedolah. So which one is it? Do we go by the beginning of the meal, or do we go by the end of the meal? Sometimes we go by the beginning, right? We know that if we start Shalosh Shudas while it's still Shabbos, which we always do, right? And then even if Shalosh Shudas ends after Shabbos, we still say Ritzei in benching, right? Even though it's not Shabbos anymore, it's after Shabbos. Why? Because we go by the beginning of the meal. So the beginning of the meal started on Shabbos, so we still say Ritzei. So the question here is that do you go by the beginning of the meal and you say, hey, you began before Mincha Gedolah, so you're not Yotzei, or do you say no? You go by the, as long as the meal is still continuing, you're Yotzei Shalosh Shudas. So comes the Mishnah Berurah in source number 3, and he writes, no problem, you're still Yotzei. V'im hizke lechol asud ha-shlishis kodem chatzos, v'nim shcha asud ha-rachar shi'igi ha-zman mincha gedola, Yotzei, you're Yotzei. Te'akoponim ochla bizmana v'lo azlino be'al bazeh basar haschala. We don't go by the beginning of the meal when it comes to this. When it comes to Ritzei, it comes to benching, so then you look at the beginning of the meal. How did I start my meal? But when it comes to fulfilling the requirement of eating Shalosh Shudas, as long as you ate, during that time period, after Mincha Gedolah, so you're Yotzei, as long as you ate during that time. Now it's interesting, he doesn't talk about what you have to eat. Now, that's a whole separate discussion. But let's assume that you wash. Let's assume that you're having bread. Okay? So let's assume you're having bread. Do you have to have bread after Mincha Gedolah? Or let's say I had my bread already at 12:15, but I'm still eating, chips and schmaltz herring or whatever else Marvin put out there. I'm still eating that past Mincha Gedolah. Am I Yotzei in that case? So that's an interesting question. Does it have to be that the bread has to be consumed after Mincha Gedolah, or just as long as you're involved in the meal still, it's your Yotzei. He doesn't specify, so I'm not 100% sure. My gut tells me that you might have to eat a kazayas of bread after that time, but I'm not 100% sure about it. Okay. Now there is an interesting halacha that a person, let's say a person ate Shalosh Shudas before Mincha, or whatever, for whatever reason, let's say you fall into the category that we discussed earlier, that you're so stuffed that it's literally painful to put anything in your mouth, and therefore you're exempt from eating Shalosh Shudas in that case. So now, am I allowed to have something to eat? I go downstairs, I don't want to, I'm not going to wash, I'm not going to eat too much, but there's a bowl of cookies sitting right in front of my face. So although I'm not very hungry and I'm not really eating Shalosh Shudas, but maybe I'll nibble on a couple of cookies while the rabbi is giving his Dvar Torah, or while I'm schmoozing with people. Maybe I'll just nibble on some things. So the only problem is that the Shulchan Aruch says that once Shkia hits, you're not allowed to eat anymore. Once Shkia hits, you're not allowed to eat anymore. Comes to Shulchan Aruch in source number 4 and writes, Asur lechol shum davar, o afilu lishtos yayin o shar mashkin chutz mimayim. You're not allowed to eat anything or drink anything except for water. He says water's allowed. You're allowed to drink water. Mishetech shach, from the time that it gets dark, ad sheyavdil, until Havdalah. Until Havdalah. Now why is this? Why can't you eat or drink once it gets dark until you make Havdalah? So this is a little bit different than Kiddush. A little bit different than Kiddush. We learned earlier, when we learned the halachas of Kiddush, that once the obligation of Kiddush hits, I cannot eat anything until I make Kiddush. Even water, I can't drink until I make Kiddush. Right? Friday night, we learned about that. Shabbos morning, we said that applies after davening. Before davening, I'm allowed to eat water, I'm allowed to drink water, because the obligation to make Kiddush hasn't started yet. That was our discussion when it came to Kiddush. So that's a little bit different. But when it comes to Havdalah, right, so Shulchan Aruch, that once it gets dark, you can no longer eat. Why? Because generally we have a problem that a person's not supposed to eat before they do a mitzvah. If you have a mitzvah that's on your hands, or a half hour even before that mitzvah, you can't eat during that time. We discussed this a little bit when it came to Neiros Chanukah. A person's supposed to light Chanukah candles. So we said, really, a half hour before that time, you're not supposed to eat. There we said you're allowed to have a snack, you're just not allowed to have a meal. So, you know, regarding different halachos, we're a little bit stricter or a little bit more lenient. But when it comes to Havdalah, we're very strict. The Shulchan Aruch says you can't have anything except for water. Water you're allowed to drink. You're allowed to drink water. But anything else, wine, you know, mizonos, whatever, herring, carrots, you can't eat it. You can't eat them once it gets dark until you make Havdalah. Because Havdalah is a mitzvah that's up and coming. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, and not only from when it gets dark do you have to stop eating, but he writes v'afilu b'safek kashecha, even during the time when we're not sure if it's day or night, namely after Shkia. Once Shkia hits, once sunset hits, now it's the period of time called Ben Hashmashos. So I'm not sure is it night, is it day? So I can't eat. That's it. I have to stop what I'm doing. Okay, he goes on to explain that a person has to stop at Shkia. Now let's say, so that's assuming that a person, again, did not wash, you know, you got to stop eating at Shkia. That's what it sounds like. You have to stop eating at Shkia. Now he does mention, let's say a person wants to eat Shal Shudas, right? But, you know, they haven't gotten a chance to wash before Shkia. You know, very often here, it's a little tight. It's, you know, but when we finish Mat Mincha, it's pretty close to Shkia. You know, I'm not sure that everybody gets a chance to wash and make hamotzi before Shkia. You know, in some shuls, it's for sure a problem. You know, I remember when I davened in Staten Island, I would daven mincha, and then I would run home. They didn't have shal shudas in the shul in Staten Island, so I would run home right after mincha, and by the time I got home, it was always like a few minutes after Shkia. So what do you do? Right? I want to eat shal shudas, but the Shulchan Aruch just told me that once Shkia hits, I'm not allowed to eat anymore. So what do? So writes the Mishnah Berurah in the second line there in source number 5. Mikom akom nirali delinyan achila su de shlishis im lo achom mikodem bevale tzarech lechol afilu achar shkia. He says when it comes to shal shudas, if you haven't eaten yet, then you have to eat. If you just want a snack, you want a nosh, so that you shouldn't do. But when it comes to being mekayim, the mitzvah of shal shudas, eating your third meal of the day, so then, even if it's a little bit past shkia, you can still wash, you can still eat shal shudas. And then he writes, that even when it comes to other foods, if you're really hungry, you can eat up until a half hour before it says Sakochavim. You can really eat up until a half hour before it says Sakochavim. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The reason why that's a little tricky is because it's not so clear when says Sakochavim is. And many poskim, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be one of those poskim actually held like Rabbeinu Tam, that says Sakochavim was, you know, about 72 minutes after Shkia. Okay, a long time after Shkia. So then a half hour before that time period is, you know, we can understand. It's, you know, whatever it is, it's 52 minutes or, you know, you're talking 42 minutes after Shkia. But for us, we don't necessarily hold like Rabbeinu Tam, or certainly not that it's 72 minutes, right? So by us, usually the time period is Shkia. So once Shkia hits, really a person should not be eating anymore, unless they're eating Shal Shudas. If you're eating Shal Shudas, certainly if you washed before Shkia, you can continue eating, you know, all the way up until, you know, until you bench, until Marv or whatever. And even if a person did not wash yet, right, but you want to wash right now, so even if it's after Shkia, the Mishnah Berurah says you can wash. Now, how many minutes after Shkia can you wash until? So Rav Moshe wrote 9 minutes, and this is source number 6. Atesha minutin. Minutin is Yiddish for minutes, I guess. Atesha minutin, right, until 9 minutes post shkia, that's the time that you're allowed to. Until that time, you're allowed to wash. It sounds like Rav Moshe holds that after that 9 minutes, a person really should not wash anymore, even for shal shudis. So you know, you have to be careful. Try to eat, you know, within that at least 9 minutes after shkia. You know, ideally, try to wash and begin your shal shudis before shkia. If you see it's not happening before shkia, at least try to make it within the first couple of minutes after shkia. You know, but certainly not past 9 minutes.
So why don't you start diving a little bit earlier?
Good question. Good question. Yeah, I just got here. Okay, we'll see. We're not making any major changes yet. Now, the Shulchan Aruch writes. Now, when it comes to eating, what does a person have to eat? Right. So, what does a person have to eat? Do I have to eat bread? Can I eat mizonos? Can I just eat some herring? Can I have some carrots? You know, what do I have to eat when it comes to shalosh shudis? So, on the one hand, you might think, well, why is shalosh shudis any different than the other two meals of Shabbos? We learned last week that a person's got to eat three meals on Shabbos. We learned them out from the three words hayom, 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 regarding the man, right? Which we'll talk about a little bit more towards the end of the shir also, right? So it sounds like all three meals are the same. So we know nobody would think not to have challah at the Friday night meal, or not to have challah at the Shabbos day meal. Nobody would ever think that. So why would a person think that shalosh shudis is any different? So at the face of it, I would say shalosh shudis is exactly the same as the other two meals, and the person has to have bread. However, comes the Shulchan Aruch, and although he starts like that, and he writes tzarich la'asosa bepas in source number 7, you gotta have shalosh shudis with, you gotta have bread at shalosh shudis, right? You have to wash, you have to have bread for shalosh shudis. However, he says there are a couple of other opinions. So that's how he starts. You gotta have bread, number one. Now he says, by the way, there are a couple of other opinions. Opinion number two, right? V'yesh omrim. Number two, some opinions do hold that you can have any type of mizonos. You know, you have some cake, you have some cookies, you have some lakshinkugel, some other type of mizonos, you can also fulfill your mitzvah of shal shudis. That's opinion number two. Right? You like that, okay? Opinion number three, opinion number three is that even some sort of an entree, right? Fish, meat, something like that, which you would eat with bread. You know, it's not, but it's a real dish, it's a real entree. Some say you can also be yotze with that. So if I have my herring, or if I have, my steak, I bring out the steak for shalosh shudis, you know, I'm yotze with dogim, or with basar. And opinion number four, v'yesh omrim, d'afilu b'peros yachal asosa. So I'm saying with anything, even fruit. Right, you have some fruit, you have some carrots, you have some, you know, some whatever, anything you could really be yotze with shalosh shudis. So you have really four opinions when it comes to shalosh shudis. Now, how do we paskin? We have four opinions. How do we paskin? So writes the Shulchan Aruch very clearly. Usvara rishona ikar. The first opinion is really the main opinion. Shetzarich la'asosa bepas, that you're really supposed to wash and have bread at shalosh shudis. Elaim kein husavei abiyosel, unless you're really stuffed. Unless you're really stuffed. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's how he paskins. Writes the Ramah. Or, unless it's a situation where you're not allowed to have bread. For example, as we mentioned earlier, Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Right? O b'makom she'i'ef sho lo le'echol pask. You're going to Erev Pesach, she'chal yos b'Shabbos. She'osel lo le'echol pask la'achar mincha. Kidvukam v'chos Pesach. So according to that, the Ramah would say that what should you do? You should have something else. Have peros. Have something else. You could have some fish. You could have some meat. Have something else to fulfill your mitzvah of Sula Shlishis.
So is the only reason that they are coming up with different opinions, is it because they're worried about you'll be stuffed?
Okay.
Or is there
so that's a good question. Right, so that's a good question. So why is it that for Shal Shudas all of a sudden we have all these different opinions? Right? Again, Friday night there's no opinions. Everybody says you gotta have bread. Shabbos day, everyone says for lunch, you have to have bread. So how come all of a sudden shalosh shudis, although the Shulchan Aruch does say that the ikar halacha is that you should have bread, there are other opinions that you can rely on in difficult situations. I'm stuffed and I can't eat anymore. It's Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos and I can't eat bread. So I have situations where I can eat something else. So why here do we have other opinions? So I saw a very interesting explanation. And that explanation was that shalosh shudis is really the only meal that we're obligated to eat where we might not really be hungry. Right? We might not be hungry. Friday night, everybody's sitting down to dinner, everybody's hungry. Right? Right? Unless you had a really late lunch on a winter Shabbos, you know, on a winter Erev Shabbos, I should say. You know, Friday night, everybody's hungry. Shabbos morning, right? You come home from shul, again, unless you stuffed yourself with a kiddush, but otherwise, you know, you come home from shul, you're hungry. Right? You're hungry for lunch. Shalosh Shuris is the one meal, the one of the three meals, where you really might not be hungry. And I'm just eating it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have an maybe, you know, it's a question if it's Doraisa or not, but I have an obligation to eat three meals on Shabbos, so that's why I have to eat it. It's because I'm eating it, but that's because that's the halacha. Yeah, so some say because of that, we're a little bit more lenient with Shalosh Shuris, according to these opinions.
Did we hear of learning Torah?
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it. You'll see where you read it, probably. I'll show you where you read it.
That's somebody mentioned on Erev Pesach.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Good. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Okay. Fine. So that's what it seems to be. That's what it seems to be. That's what the distinction between the first two meals and Shalosh Shuris seems to be, is that the third meal is not really for, you know, just to satisfy me. The third meal is really to satisfy the halachic requirement. And therefore, according to some opinions, we are a little bit more lenient. There are other explanations that are given as well, but that's the one that I saw. We'll skip to source number 8 for a minute. We kind of mentioned it. He does mention also in source number 8 that a person, you know, you shouldn't just suffice with bread. You shouldn't just have bread at Shalosh Shuris. You should try to have, you know, some nice food. You know, like Marvin does. You know, you try to have some nice food. Try to have some fish and try to have some egg salad and whatever else, you know, you want to put out. But you try to have some nice food and not just bare bones. You know, Shalosh Shuris shouldn't just be bare bones. You should have something. You should have something nice. The Mishnah Berurah does conclude in source number 9 also that according to everyone, even according to the other opinions, that you could be Yotzei Shalosh Shuris with mizonos or with fish or meat or with peros, all of the opinions hold that the mitzvah min amuvkar, the best way to be Mekayim Shalosh Shuris, is with bread. That all the opinions hold. And that's what we say. That's what he says in source number 9. Lekuliyama, the mitzvah min amuvchar bepas, and not only bread, ushnei kikaros, lechem mishnah. Right? We'll talk about lechem mishnah maybe a little bit next week. But once you have bread, you have lechem mishnah, you have two chalas, and you have bread, and that's really the main aspect of Shalosh Shuris. And he writes that really this whole machlokes ela depligi leinyan diyevet im yotze bazeh. Really, the whole machlokes is only bidiyevet. Right? If I didn't have bread, am I yotze? That's really the machlokes. So some say you're yotze if you have mizonos. Some say you're yotze if you had a basar or dogin. Some say you're yotze if you had peros. But everyone agrees that lechatchila, what you're supposed to do is to have bread. So again, that's what it seems very clearly, according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah, everybody, and you know, all the poskim, that a person should really have bread at Shalosh Shuris. That's the best way to go. Obviously, we said if a person can't because the Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, so you can rely on other opinions, okay? Or if a person, like we said, is so stuffed that it's painful for them to put anything else in their mouth, okay? So you can nibble on a cracker, you know, have some mazonos or something for Shalosh Shuris. But again, we should think about that in advance and try to plan so that we don't have to do that at Shalosh Shuris, and we can eat Shalosh Shuris and wash and eat like a mensch, eat the bread like a mensch. Okay. Yeah. You have a question? Okay. Okay. Now, let's skip skipping the number 10, because we already mentioned it. So source number 11 comes and says something that's very, very important, which is that women are obligated in Shalosh Shuris. Women are obligated in Shalosh Shuris. Now, this is a halacha that's, I'm not sure if it's not so well known, or it's not so well kept, right? At least I think, because very often the women are not in shul. You know, and very often the men who are in shul, they go down, they eat Shalosh Shuris, and the women are home, especially if it's a winter Shabbos and they just ate lunch, or if other things are happening in the afternoon. It's one of those things that kind of just falls by the wayside. But it's very clear, right to the Shulchan Aruch in source number 11, Nashim Chayavos Besuda Shlishis. Women are obligated in Shalosh Shuris, very clearly. Now, why is that? And we discussed it. This is source number 12. The Mishnah Berurah explains that when it comes to Shabbos, men and women are basically equal when it comes to all the obligations of Shabbos. And we said even mitzvos aseh she'azman grama, even though all of the mitzvos of Shabbos, the positive mitzvos of Shabbos, are mitzvos aseh she'azman grama, they're time-bound mitzvos, because they all depend on Shabbos, right? Nevertheless, women, and generally women are exempt from those types of mitzvos. When it comes to Shabbos, women are obligated. Why? Because we connect Zachar and Shomer. So since women are obligated in all the los asays, they can't cook and they can't sew and they can't do anything that men can't do. So too, they're obligated in all the asays, they're obligated in the zachor, and all the positive aspects of Shabbos as well, like Kiddush and Lecha Mishnah, and all of these things. So a woman is very clearly obligated in Shalosh Shuddos. That's very clear. Putting that together with what we just learned, and again, when the Shulchan Aruch discussed what a person should eat for Shalosh Shuddos, he didn't distinguish between men and women. He didn't say, well, men should have bread, but women can have basar and dagim, or women can have peiros, or women can have mizonos. He didn't say that. He just he equated everybody. So it seems very clearly that not only are women obligated to have shalosh shudas, but really women, lechatchila, are obligated to wash and have shalosh shudas just like men do. Right? And not only that, but even with lecha mishnah. Right? As the Mishnah Berurah himself said, you're washing, have lecha mishnah. That seems to be the requirement across the board, whether you're a man or you're a woman. So technically speaking, it doesn't really matter if a person is male or female. They have to eat shalosh shudas, and really, ideally, to have it with bread and have it with lecha mishnah. Again, it's not always possible, and when it comes to shalosh shudas, we do have other opinions in difficult circumstances. But if it's not a difficult circumstance, you know, regular week by week situation, really, every woman should be washing and having lecha mishnah for shalosh shudas. Now, I know that even though I'm saying that here, and even though I'm going to put this on YU Torah, I know that it's not going to happen necessarily that all the women are just going to become, just start washing for shalosh shudas. But really, that's the ideal. And for some reason, it's not something that's really caught on.
Well, we make the shalosh shudas in the sense that you're davening mincha, and then you're eating shalosh shudas.
Right.
So it's really like it's the only meal that you don't eat with the family.
Correct.
So
right.
How could you expect, reverse?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but
talk about Shabbos is,
right.
In a sense, is, you know, you're like...
Right, I understand, but just because the family's not there doesn't mean that the woman's exempt. I mean, for example, let's say her husband's not home for Shabbos, right? Let's say her husband's not home for Shabbos, let's say he's on business and he's away for Shabbos or something like that. That doesn't mean that she's exempt from all three meals on Shabbos. She doesn't have to have a Friday night meal. Of course she does, right? Even if her husband's not home. So if her husband's not home for Shalosh Shudas, she still has to have Shalosh Shudas. You know, that's the requirement. Maybe we should open up an Ezra's Nashim downstairs, you know, and have open up Shalosh Shudas to the ladies. And, right, everybody.
The boys welcome, when they didn't say, ladies, we welcome.
There we go.
There it is.
They choose not to, usually. But that's the basic halacha. Okay. Now, it's very interesting. Joe mentioned something a couple minutes ago that some have this idea that during Shalosh Shudas, instead of eating, you know, you can learn. You can learn instead of eating. Right? Somehow, if you learn, that fulfills your requirement of Shalosh Shudas. Right? There is such an idea. Joe didn't make it up. It actually it comes from somewhere. And the question is where, and what's the basis of this? So it actually starts, as Joe alluded to, it starts with Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. Okay, we discussed a little bit Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. You have a problem with Shalosh Shudas because you can't eat too late. You can't eat bread, you know, after whatever it is in the morning. And I can't eat matzah the whole day, so I'm kind of stuck. What do I do? So we said one of the things we do is we eat an early Shalosh Shudas. But we saw the Shulchan Aruch wasn't so crazy about that because it's not it's before Mincha Gedolah. So we saw maybe you can rely, as the Ramah implied, you can rely on some of the other opinions. I can have maybe some fish. Right, I'll just have gefilte fish. You know, I'll just have, I can't have mezonos really, right, at that time. But, because we don't eat matzah shira, we don't eat, egg matzah or whatever. So I can't eat mezonos, but I can have fish or meat. I can have peiros.
Potato starch.
Yeah, you can have potato starch. Okay, so I can have all those things. But that's not mezonos though, potato starch.
No, that's good.
Right. So I can have all those things, right? So maybe I'll be yotze with that. And comes the Shulchan Aruch. And he writes when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, that's what you should do. I'm sorry, this is the Rama. This is the Rama we just saw. Uvu Medinos Elu in source number 13, repeating the Rama. Medinos Elu she'ein nag in lachom matzah ashira. We don't eat matzah ashira, so therefore, what should we do? Yikayim su the shlishis b'minei peros o basar v'dagim kedil elsam reish tadi aleph. So this Rama is in Hilchos Pesach, but he's saying the same thing that he said in Hilchos Shabbos. So just like in Hilchos Shabbos, he said that we rely on these opinions when it comes to Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. In Hilchos Pesach, he says the same thing. And according to the Rama, what should you do on Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos? Sit down Erev Pesach in the afternoon, which is Shabbos, and have some fruit, have some basar and dagim, whatever the case might be. You have some of that, you're Yotzei Shalosh Shudas. That's what you should do. comes the Magen Avraham in that siman in Hilchos Pesach, and he writes in the name of the Shalah that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did something else. Writes the Magen Avraham in source number 14, U'bishalah kasa b'shem ha-Zohar, she-Rab Shimon Bar Yochai haya oseik ba-Torah b'makom suda shlishis. That Rab Shimon Bar Yochai used to study Torah instead of suda shlishis, instead of shalosh shudas. He used to study Torah instead of shalosh shudas. That it doesn't say. So some say they take this mug. Excuse me. They take this Magen Avraham. I don't know what the Zohar says inside. I didn't look it up. Okay. I don't have a Zohar at home, but I didn't look it up, and I don't know what it says inside. But from the Magen Avraham, one could read the Magen Avraham like Joe saying that it's referring to every week instead of eating shalosh shudas. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai used to sit and learn, and there is an idea like this that people have. That shalosh shudas is kind of optional, and if I choose to learn instead of eating shalosh shudas, that's okay, right? I can learn instead of shalosh shudas, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai did according to the Zohar. However, the Aruch HaShulchan is very bothered by this, and he says, "What's going on over here? What Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is learning instead of shalosh shudas? What is this supposed to mean?" So comes the Aruch HaShulchan. And he quotes the Zohar that he used to do this in place of shalosh shudas, and then he writes towards the end of that first line in 15, "V'yesh lahavin atu Rav Shimon Bar Yochai lo hayayochel l'kayim suda shlishis be'ezim me'advarim shenizbaru." Well, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai could not fulfill shalosh shudas even with some peiros. And you can eat anything according to those opinions. Peiros, baser v'dagim.
Boxer.
He doesn't say that though, right? Boxer. Okay. Yeah, but it doesn't say he didn't eat the boxer during shalosh shudas, right? He ate it the rest of the time. V'nira le'anias da'iti baru, comes the Aruch HaShulchan. It says, it's very clear to me, that some people have a misunderstanding of this Zohar, this Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. T'kol zehu milsa yaser t'shari b'shabbos zu, bal korchach lo nitztavinu klal al gimel se'udos. He says, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai only did this on Erev Pesach that fell out on Shabbos. Why? Because on Erev Pesach that fell out on Shabbos, there must be, says the Aruch HaShulchan, there must be no obligation to eat shalosh shudas. So we all assume that there's an obligation to eat shalosh shudas, and we try to figure out how we're going to do it. We're going to wash, have two meals very early in the morning. Or we're going to have some peiros or basar v'dagim later in the afternoon and fulfill my shalosh shudas. Comes the Aruch HaShulchan and says, no. It must be that on this type of a Shabbos that falls on Erev Pesach, you're not obligated in shalosh shudas. You're not obligated in three meals on that Shabbos. You can't do it. There's no way to do it. Right to the Aruch HaShulchan. Fascinating. What do you say about Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos? Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. It happens sometimes. You can't have any meals. Right? You can't have any meals. So are you doing anything wrong? Of course not. There is no obligation on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos to have three meals. Right? I'm not allowed to eat. So there's no obligation to have three meals. So writes the Aruch HaShulchan, so too, on Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos, I'm not obligated to have Suda Shlishis. The first two I'm obligated to have, Friday night and Shabbos morning I can have, right? But my third meal, it's out of the question. Just like on Yom Kippur, it's out of the question. Nothing to talk about. Okay, but who I didn't? Shabbos, Erev Pesach, Linyan Suda Shlishis. So he writes, V'keva, the Suda Gemura E.F. Shar, so since I can't eat a regular meal, right? Erev Pesach, I can't eat a regular meal. Memele de'in shayich lemalosa, b'peros b'basa v'dogim shein tzorach klal bazeh. He said, all these opinions of I can fulfill Suda Shlishis with peiros, I can fulfill Suda Shlishis with basar and dogim, that's assuming that you have an obligation to eat shalosh shudas because you can have a normal meal at that time. But if I can't have a normal meal at that time, then there is no obligation to have shalosh shudas, and you don't even have to have peiros or basar and dogim. There's no obligation. Okay, v'od devadei gamina Torah mitzvah lechol akizayis matzah l'teyavon. Okay, and he says, let's skip over that line for a minute. V'zeu taimo shereb Shimon Bar Yochai she'asak b'Torah. So he says that's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai studied Torah in place of shalosh shudas. B'nei she'ein mitzvah kabel Shabbosu lechol suda shlishis, because there's no mitzvah to eat shalosh shudas on this Shabbos. So every Shabbos from Shimon Bar Yochai after mincha or maybe before mincha, I don't know, used to go downstairs in congregation based tefillah and eat shalosh shudas. But comes every Pesach that falls on Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, one second. There's no obligation to have shalosh shudas today. Oh, there's no obligation to have shalosh shudas. What does Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai do when there's no obligation to eat? He learns. So that's why he learned in place of shalosh shudas. But it doesn't mean that every week a person can learn and somehow fulfill shalosh shudas through learning. So writes the Aruch HaShulchan, this is a terrible misconception people have. They're getting confused. The whole thing is based on Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the Zohar, and even that is only based on the Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. And that's it. So some do still say it, I think, for other weeks, but very clearly, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it's a total misconception.
You can't do like this they have where you daven about Karbanos, and it's like you...
Unushal Mefarim Sifaseinu. Right.
You learn about Shalosh Shudas, and you're...
Yeah, but you know, but you can... Unushal Mefarim Sifaseinu only works if there's no Parim. Meaning, if you can't bring the Karbanos, so then you can suffice by learning about the Karbanos. Okay. No one would say you can study Hilchos Tefillin, and now I don't have to put on Tefillin. I learned about them, right? You know, I learned about going to Minyan. I don't have to do it. We don't say that. Yeah.
I seem to remember that some there's opinions that say in that on that Shabbos to use egg matzah to wash.
To use egg matzah. So. I mean, in the morning, maybe. In the afternoon, though, we usually don't eat egg matzah.
So they make a differentiation that you could eat that. I remember something like 2:30 in the afternoon before the last.
I don't remember offhand. I don't.
5:12 to the party or something.
I don't remember offhand. I have to look into it again. Before the next Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Okay. I want to skip. I want to skip a little bit. Maybe we'll come back to this, but I want to skip a little bit for a minute to the last page. Very interesting source. The last source here. Now this source is in Yiddish. You'll see. Okay. Now the reason why this source is in Yiddish is because I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago. I learned about a very interesting minhag that I never knew before. Okay, very interesting minhag. And that is that there's a minhag Chabad, a real minhag of Chabad, not to eat bread at Shalosh Shudas. Specifically, not to eat bread at Shalosh Shudas. So we learned until now that a person is supposed to eat bread, but if you can't or whatever, there's other opinions. You could be yotze with fish, you could be yotze with mizonos, you could be yotze with peiros. Okay, right? But the Mishnah Berurah clearly said everyone agrees, l'chatchila you try to have bread, right? If you can't, you can't. But there is a minhag in Chabad that you should specifically not have bread at Shalosh Shudas, okay? And, you know, we're not talking about, I mean, it's a real minhag. The reason why we have this is because in Staten Island, we had a Shalosh Shudas, a joint Shalosh Shudas between the Young Israel of Staten Island and Chabad. It was a joint Shalosh Shudas in appreciation of the NYPD, you know, when things were a little bit tough for the NYPD last year, I think it was last year. And at Shalosh Shudas, you know, there was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chabad Yeshiva, was sitting at the dais, and you know, so of course we offered him, you know, rolls to wash, and he said no. He said I don't wash Shalosh Shudas, and I started, you know, and I started looking around and then asking around, and I figured out that it's an actual minhag of Chabad. It's a real minhag of Chabad, and it's based on something. Let's see what it's based on. So where does this come from, right? Minhag of Chabad. So the fascinating source. We're not going to read the whole thing inside because it's all in Yiddish. So I'm sure some of you will enjoy it. You can look at it on your own, in source number 21. But I'll just tell you, you know, outside, it's pretty easy Yiddish. Even I made my way through it. It's pretty relatively easy Yiddish. But this is the Likutei Sichos. This is the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, the Lubavitcher Rebbe writes in Parshas Beshalach, where we learn about the Mon, because that's the source of the three Sudos of Shabbos. We learn Hayom, 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 regarding the Mon. So writes the Lubavitcher Rebbe that we have a minhag. He says, the Ruba de Ruba, most people... We don't eat bread at Shalosh Shudas, right? We don't eat bread in Shalosh Shudas. And we have something. You know, you have something. You have, again, you have mizonos, peiros, bus, or something. You have something at Shalosh Shudas, just not bread. They're makbit to eat Shalosh Shudas, by the way, right? They're makbit to have something for Shalosh Shudas, right? Because you have to have Shalosh Shudas. But they don't have bread. So why not bread? So writes the Bavitcher Rebbe, the Talmud is as follows. He says, because we learn the source of the three meals on Shabbos from the word hayom, right? Hayom, hayom, hayom is repeated three times in those psukim regarding the man. Okay, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe that if you look closely at the psukim, the third hayom, okay, we take it out of context. We just say it's hayom, 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 right? He says the third hayom, actually, the pasuk reads hayom lo simtsauhu basadeh. Today you will not find the man in the field, referring to Shabbos. Right, that the man does not fall on Shabbos. Hayom lo simtsauhu basadeh. So writes the Lubavitcher Rebbe that since the pasuk says that since the third hayom, which is a reference, which is corresponds to that to Shalosh Shudas, says hayom lo simtsauhu basadeh, today you will not find the mon in the field. So that's where the minhag came, that for, specifically for shalashudis, we don't eat bread. Specifically for shalashudis, we don't eat bread, because there's no mud in the field at the third hayom. So for shalashudis, we don't eat bread. So that's basis number one, he writes. Okay, that's basis number one, based on the pshat of the psukim. Basis number two for this minhag, he writes, which is more al pi sod and chasidus, he says that the third meal of Shabbos corresponds to Olam Haba. Third meal of Shabbos corresponds to Olam Haba. Okay, we know, you know, NCSY really took this and ran with it. You know, the third meal of Shabbos is, somehow they do it in a dark room, Shalosh Shudis. You know, it's a very spiritual experience, and there's a lot of singing at Shalosh Shudis. You know, people, it's a very holy time, Shalosh Shudis. Shalosh Shudis is a very holy time. So writes the Lubavitcher Rebbe that Shalosh Shudis corresponds to Olam Haba. Right? That's the third meal that corresponds to Olam Haba. Okay? And he actually writes it in the Bach, even in the Bach, not just in the Chassidish Sfar, but even in the Bach, he writes that that this third meal corresponds to Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, writes the Lubavitcher Rebbe, what did Chazal say about Olam Haba? Olam Haba, ein ba lo achila v'lo shtia. Right? Olam Haba, we don't need any drink in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a purely spiritual existence. It's not a physical existence, it's purely spiritual. So therefore, when it comes to Shalosh Shudis, which corresponds to Olam Haba, which is purely spiritual, so therefore we're not going to have bread. We have to have something because there's an obligation to eat Shalosh Shudis. You can't get it completely out of the obligation. But since it's based on Olam Haba, Ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia, so therefore we cut something out and we don't have the bread, which we normally have at the other two seudos. I don't know. I don't know if they have steak. But so those are the two bases. Those are the two bases for the Lubavitcher custom of not eating bread, specifically not eating bread at Shalosh Shudis. But again, if you're Chabad, so then it's a valid custom. But if you're not Chabad, it's hard to adopt just that Chabad custom unless you want to adopt all the Chabad customs. And then there's something to talk about. But just that one, I think, is a difficult one to adopt in a vacuum. I just want to end with the last 2 minutes with a very interesting halacha, and that is that when it comes to every Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, there is I'm not going to call it a prohibition, because it's not really usur, it's not a prohibition. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is mitzvah lehimana. I think that's the language. Mitzvah lehimana, which means that it's appropriate to refrain. So writes the Shulchan Aruch that every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, it's appropriate to refrain from having a real meal from 9 hours, 9 halachic hours of the day until the end of the day. Why? Because we want you to be able to eat the Shabbos Suda at night, Friday night, or the Yom Tov Suda at night with an empty stomach. You know, we want you to be hungry for your Shabbos Suda. If you sit down for a late lunch on a Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., 3:30 p.m., whatever time that ninth halachic hour of the day is, and now you come home from shul at 5:30 and you're not hungry because I just had 3 slices of pizza at 3:30. So I'm not hungry at 5:30 now. So Chazal said that's a problem. We don't want that to happen. So therefore, they said that it's tov lihimana, it's good to refrain, mitzvah lihimana, from 9 hours, not halachic hours of the day, in order not to have a real meal. You can snack if you're really hungry, you know, have an apple, you can have some Mizonos, you can have a snack, but not to really eat a meal. Now again, in the summertime, this is usually not a problem because nobody's eating that late. In the wintertime, it can get a little tricky if you missed lunch or you came home late from work, whatever, you want to grab something to eat. So it's a problem. Again, that's only if it refers to washing. You're allowed to eat something else. You're allowed to have something small. You just can't wash after that time. Now, so that's nice and good for Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. But the question is, sometimes we have a Shabbos, which is Erev Yontif. Right? Like a 3-day Yontif. Right. So you have Shabbos, which is Erev Yontif. So now I have a problem. Because now I have a mitzvah to eat Shalosh Shudis, but yet, it's Erev Yontif. I got to eat the meal tonight. Right, even if I'm going to have to wait till after Shabbos is over to start preparing, or whatever the case is. But I have a meal tonight. I can't eat so late. I don't want to be full for my meal. So there the halacha is that a person should really try to eat an early Shalosh Shudis on that type of a day. When it's Shabbos that falls on Erev Yontif, try to have Shalosh Shudis early, okay? You know, you could have it after Mincha Gedola, but, you know, have it early so that you're not infringing on that time period of the ninth halachic hour of the day. And that way you fulfill Shalosh Shudis and you still have room for your meal, which comes later that night. These are basically the halachos of Shalosh Shudis. Mirz Hashem, next week we'll pick up with some of the halachos of Lechem Mishnah. Have a wonderful evening.